Good day, beloved brothers and sisters. Today, we will be reflecting on the reading from the Tuesday of the Octave of Easter, John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then she reported what he had told her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We find ourselves today amidst the great Easter octave. These are the 8 days in which Mother Church remembers the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And within this 8-day time frame, each day is celebrated with the same solemnity and devotion as Easter Sunday. So we're going to hear throughout these 8 days, Gospels that are reflecting upon the resurrection narrative. Today, from the Gospel of John, we hear one of the most theologically rich descriptions of the resurrection. And John, in his usual theological genius, ties together the resurrection story of Christ's interaction with Mary Magdalene to the Genesis event and to the Garden of Eden. To really appreciate what happens in today's gospel, we will need to return to the book of Genesis, chapters 1 through 3. We hear that God creates Adam and Eve, places them within the garden. What was the purpose of placing them in the garden? Abad in Hebrew. They were placed there for abad, which means worship, to draw the garden, to draw creation into a proper adoration and glorification of God the Father. This word abad, by the way, is used over 200 times in the Old Testament. It's used later on in the book of Exodus when Moses tells Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But why is he fighting for the liberation of the Israelites? It is not to give them the promised land. That is not the primary reason for their liberation. Read that narrative very closely. "Let my people go, so that they might offer me right worship in the desert." This is what God commands of Pharaoh. The number one reason for liberating the people of Israel is so that they can establish a cult, C-U-L-T. That means a means of proper and right worship to glorify God. This is what ends up being the identifying characteristic of the nation of Israel, is that among all the other nations, which are polytheistic, which have multiple false gods, they are the only nation in the world that has revelation of the one true God and have been revealed by that one true God how to properly give sacrifice and worship. So this word abad is essential to the Hebrew mentality, and it begins back in the book of Genesis. Adam was supposed to give abad to the Heavenly Father. Of course, he fails in this task. He turns towards egoism. So as opposed to offering right worship for the other, as opposed to offering proper adoration, proper liturgical glorification of God, he turns inward. He makes himself the epicenter of praise and worship through his own will, through disobedience. And what is the result? A rupture in divine intimacy. The next several thousand years of Hebrew history will be an attempt to close this gap between the divine and the human. Fast forward throughout the Israelite nation's history with Abraham, Moses, the prophets, time and time again, God offers them a covenant, as it says in the sacred scriptures. And what do the people do? They break this covenant. They broke with Abraham. They broke with Moses. They broke it with the prophets. They broke with King David. They broke it with the kings following David's line. The people of Israel are not able to be faithful to the promises of God in order to bring him glory and honor. Until a young virgin living within a garden of Nazareth, an angel appears to her. An angel from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. An angel is a mouthpiece of God himself. God appears to this young woman and says, "Will you be faithful to me? Will you allow me within your very self to bridge the gap between humanity and divinity? Will you give me your human nature so that I might share with humanity my divine nature? Fiat mihi voluntas tua secundum verbum tuum. Let it be done unto me according to thy word." The virgin responds, and as Saint Bonaventure says so wonderfully, the whole universe gives a sigh of relief, for the young virgin accepts the divine will. And see, within the heart of our mother, within her very body, is conceived the perfect unity of humanity and divinity, Jesus Christ our Lord, he who is fully human and fully divine. Christ lives 30 years in intimacy with his mother, in intimacy with his foster father Joseph, in the secrecy of the palm of his heavenly father, until he begins his public ministry. And all throughout this public ministry, what is he doing? He is slowly revealing how he is the fulfillment of the new Adam, how he is fulfilling the lack of faithfulness, how he is fulfilling the lack of devotion and right worship that was manifested by the Israelite people. This comes to a fore in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here we see a juxtaposition between the old Adam and the new Adam, perfectly illustrated. The church fathers would recognize the Garden of Gethsemane as the turning point of salvation history. They would see in that single moment, when Christ, prostrate upon the ground, his sweat like blood, hears his heavenly Father pronounce his crucifixion, pronounce his drinking of the cup of wrath and death, and Jesus looking up to him and saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." All of those events are Jesus redeeming the failure of the old Adam. Where the old Adam was disobedient, the new Adam is obedient. The church fathers will speak about this over and over again. How Adam was exiled out of paradise. What was paradise? Perfect union with God. This intimacy with the Sacred Heart of the Trinity that was shattered by selfishness and pride, Christ restores in himself. In his human will, accepting the divine will, we see now a reunification of humanity and divinity in established, definitive way of communion with the Father through the Son by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Christ, now accepting the will of the Father, climbs upon his cross and uses it as a plowshare to plant a new Garden of Eden. In this garden, he will plant the tree of his cross, and he will water and irrigate this tree with his own blood and water flowing from his ripped open side. and upon this tree will blossom the rich fruits of salvation and the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Now we can understand what St. John the Evangelist is talking about in today's gospel when he gives the explicit detail that Jesus is buried in a garden, raised in a garden, and he appears in the eyes of Mary Magdalene to be a gardener. A gardener. Who is John the Evangelist referring to here? The premier gardener. So who was the primal gardener? Adam. He was the first caretaker of the garden of God's creation. But now here is the new premier gardener. Here's the new gardener that truly cultivated, that truly brought creation to a proper adoration of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Lord. And in another stroke of genius, St. John writes for us the beautiful detail of Christ's interaction with Mary Magdalene, how she does not recognize him initially. She sees him as a gardener, an allusion, of course, to Adam. And then Jesus speaks her name, Mary, Mary. Just like when God created Adam, he spoke his name, Adam, Adam. So Christ is making a new creation here, Mary. And when she hears her name spoken, she recognizes the Lord, Rabuni, teacher, teacher. Of course, she grabs onto him. She grabs onto him because she doesn't want to let him go. She doesn't want the Lord to leave her. But you must let me go. You must let me go. Why? Not so that I can abandon you, but so that I can be seated at the right hand of the Father. And then my spirit can come, and I can exist among you in a form, in a way, in which I will never be taken again. This, of course, is the Eucharist. This is the Church. This is the sacramental life of our Catholic faith. This is the new way in which Christ exists in history and continues to manifest his presence truly and sacramentally in our midst. So my brothers and sisters, as we come to this third day in the octave of Easter, with great joy in our hearts for the gift of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, let us recognize him as the new Adam, as the one who has cultivated the garden of creation and brought it back into a proper communion with the Father. And let us also recognize him as the gardener of our souls. As St. Teresa of Avila will say so beautifully, each of our souls is a garden that the Holy Spirit desires to plow, that the Holy Spirit desires to enrich and to fertilize with the fruits of his divine will. Let us allow Christ to till this garden and make it a birthplace, a blossoming field of adoration to the glory of God. Amen.